What's going on, everybody? Episode 16 of Read Between the Lines.
I'm your boy Daniel. Yo, this is your boy Q into his house.
And we're here once again, giving the people what they want. We've been off for a couple of weeks. A lot going on. But how you been, Mr. Q?
I've been great. I've been good. It's chill. Laid back.
Yeah.
Weather's changing.
The leaves are turning.
The leaves are turning. Grass is turning brown. I'm okay with it. I'm tired of looking at my yard.
I see you got your fall colors on.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to that season.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. Look at we got them.
Man, well, a lot's been going on since the last we were here with the people. Is my audio okay? Yeah.
Yeah, you.
I think it went off for a second. But yeah, man. So one of the things that was in the news recently was about Kendrick Lamar and how he's going to be headlining the Super Bowl halftime show, next year or whatever. And so, first of all, what do you think about the pick of Kendrick Lamar headlining the Super Bowl halftime show? And actually, it, sort of a backup question, with the whole Drake beef and everything that happened, do you think like this is some sort of like coronation that, you know, he won or whatever?
I don't think it's some type of a thing that he won. I think he just hot. I think people, he's in everybody's mouth right now as far as like music wise. Like, I mean, they love that track. Not like us. And I mean, I've seen t-shirts. I've seen crazy stuff online. People using hashtag not like us.
Yeah.
So I think it's his time. I think, you know, and maybe with that beef he had with Drake, that probably just pushed him on over to the edge and say, you know what, you know, he's hot, you know. So, I mean.
So you think that was, out of all the artists that we currently have, you think that was the best pick? Of the current, you know, bunch of artists. Now, granted, not everyone could have said yes. We don't know. Some people could have turned it down.
Right.
But out of the, I guess, for lack of a better word, superstar, you know, caliber, I guess.
I think it's a great pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned that song, Not Like Us. Can you give me another one that people really rock with like that?
It don't really matter.
That's my, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course it matters.
It doesn't matter because.
What you mean?
The way the world is set up today, people go on what's hot right now. They don't matter. It doesn't matter if it was, he could have been nobody 6 months ago. But today he's hot because of stuff like TikTok, because of social media. So it doesn't matter if you have Drake. Or if you have Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, all those are great artists. All those are pioneers. They all, like, did their work. Even Eminem, point blank. Like, last night, he was on VMAs. He opened up for VMAs. Eminem did a great job. But you don't hear nothing about none of these artists. It's like, all of a sudden, out of the blue, it's because of social media and the fans, they push it. So, it's almost as if, like, the fans run the world because since he's hot right now, they wanted to stay, keep him hot, put him on face of TV, put him on every, you know, video. And so it just how it is. Like, it doesn't matter what he had out a year ago. Nobody cares. But what cares right now is what's happening in the present. And it's hot, like, it's Not Like Us. Then he got dropped new music, something about, I saw some shoes online. And
have you heard that song?
I haven't even had a chance to hear it yet.
Man, but, come on, you're supposed to listen to it. Give you a critique.
Well, you know how I am about hip hop anyway. That's not even my feel. But the track Not Like Us is still like number one. Like, so yeah.
Well, I kind of saw it a couple of ways. For one thing, I just don't know that was necessarily the best pick. And this is why I say this. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, he's been hot over the summer with that song, you know, Not Like Us or whatnot. But my thing is like, when you're talking about the Super Bowl, you're talking about a an event where it crosses all kinds of demographics, all kinds of, I mean, it's actually worldwide. So, I mean, let's look at who was there last year. Usher. Usher was performed last year. Has a long catalog of hit songs that are, you know, generational, and a lot of people know, not just, you know, black people, white people. I mean, people, you know, all kinds of people know, are familiar, and love Usher. Who was there before that? Rihanna. Same thing. She's got a catalog that, crosses over to different demographics. Young, old, women, right, men.
Right. I see what you're saying.
And who was there before that? I think it was, Dr. Dre, Snoop, and all them. I think it was 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be, or it may have been Pitbull and J-Lo, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was 2020 that it was J-Lo and Shakira.
Right.
Again, Shakira, globally, she's well known, and people obviously know her. And but you know, they didn't put her by herself. They actually had to put her with J-Lo. Because J-Lo couldn't carry that whole thing either.
Don't get me started.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the same when Dr. Dre came out and Eminem, 50 Cent, you know, yes, there was a lot of hip-hop there. But, you know, it took a collective of them for a lot of people to be like, oh, yeah, we know all these songs. Because unless you're a hip-hop head or really into rap, you're only going to know but like 2-3 songs from all of them.
But I do think with Kendrick Lamar, I think he knows that. So he's probably got a couple of surprises.
Well, and, okay.
And I guarantee you he's going to bring out somebody that you were unexpected. That it was, it's probably going to come out with him as far as collabs, anything. So, I mean, you're right. He's Kendrick Lamar. You know, his catalog is not that long. He got a couple of hot hits. And actually, I didn't really start hearing about Kendrick Lamar until he did that track with Beyonce. I can't think of the name of the song, but that was a hot track. And he performed at the BET Awards, and he performed it at the Grammys 1 year. And they actually just put him on the map. And now you hear about him, and then it went silent for a while. And then he came back with this track that became number one in the charts. So I'm thinking he probably got some stuff up his sleeve that he's going to probably bring out, and it's probably going to be somebody I wouldn't doubt it'd be Taylor Swift.
Well, he does have a song with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And with Beyonce.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible.
Oh, yeah, I could see him.
But I think he, back in 2020 when Dr. Dre and all them came out, he was there too. He had a little part
right
as well. So I'm kind of surprised that he was already involved in it and they're bringing him back so soon. Now, to your point, you know, he's, you know, the hot rapper right now and whatnot. But again, he doesn't have the type of catalog that crosses over that everyone would know his music. And that's where I'm afraid of, that this wasn't necessarily the best pick. Now, that being said, you know, people that are like really into hip hop are going to be like, oh yeah, it's a great pick. We love his songs. But besides them, who else does? So unless he brings out other people, there's going to be a lot of people listening to songs that they've never heard of. They might end up liking them. It might be a hot performance. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Super Bowl, you're looking for that superstar that has that it factor that crosses over, like the Bruno Mars of the world and people like that. I think 1 year, ever since Jay-Z took over and started sort of orchestrating all of this with the NFL, he had The Weeknd 1 year, which The Weeknd, he's got some crossover hits. I don't think his catalog is like that huge, but he does have some crossover hits that, you know, he's put out over time. Go ahead.
I mean, with The Weeknd, he just had that sound. And there, I think there's a difference. Like, he doesn't, somebody like The Weeknd does not have to have a strong history or catalog. It just, he had that sound that when you hear that sound, you know it's The Weeknd. Like, his songs, they stand out. Like, his voice is different. So people will tune in just because it's The Weeknd. It doesn't really matter if he have a huge catalog. It's just that sound attracts them. Like, wow, that's The Weeknd. So you can hear all these songs on your top radio stations today or your satellite, and then you hear The Weeknd, you're going to know it's The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Because his voice is, he has that pitch, and it's, most of his music is kind of like clubbish, or it's a good vibe, or he goes real deep down to the part where it's real dark, and it still have the hot beat behind it, and he do a collab with somebody. And so I think it'll be hot. So even though his catalog is not strong, but his voice is very recognizable, you know?
Gotcha. Well, sort of in that same vein, obviously there was, you know, some pushback from the likes of Nicki Minaj, and she kind of criticized the pick to have.
But before we get into that, who would you like to see do the Super Bowl?
Who would I like to see the Super Bowl?
If they had to call you and get the final say so to say, okay, we need one more opinion that really matters. Who would you suggest?
Well, I mean, for example, you got to think of, like, who else is hot right now? Taylor Swift is hot right now. Mm-hmm. So somebody like her could have been one. Drake could have been another one. Not just because, not necessarily because he's hot right now, even though he had the whole beef over the spring, early summer. But he has an awesome catalog. He crosses over. But I've heard, you know, there's some, you know, people commenting out there that he's been offered to perform and he's turned it down. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Kendrick Lamar brain Drake out?
I mean, that'd be crazy.
I'm telling you,
that would be like whenever Kanye West performed and brought Drake out, whenever they had that beef. Mm-hmm. You remember watching that? Did you ever watch that? Mm-hmm. It actually came out on Prime. It was like live on Prime. It was his Kanye West concert, and then during the concert he brought out Drake, and they performed together for like several songs. Then Drake left, and then Kanye kept going. You never saw that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and they kind of squashed the beef at that moment, but then, you know, things went back to what it was.
I just think at this point, they're gonna pull something out of the hat. You have to, because at the end of the day, the whole name of the game, I think, this is just me, is that we have to get views. We paying for all this money, advertisement, sponsorship. We have to do something that's gonna bring in the clout, bring in the views, and that's just go through social media. Because they want people on the next day talking about it, and the next day still talking about it, and the following week still talking about it. So what other way would it be is to bring out Drake?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's gonna bring out Drake. I know think that, there's too much bad blood, at least.
Well,
you know, but
no.
But if you'd asked me who would have been a better choice, somebody like Drake. If you wanted to keep it, you know, hip hop, whatever, definitely Drake. Even Beyonce, because I mean, even when you look at Beyonce, she even had sort of that crossover, sort of like, you know, country music, sort of, you know, genre album that she put out. So even somebody like her, you could think about. Obviously Taylor as well. I don't expect them to be, you know, to necessarily want to do it right now, but to the point of Kendrick headlining it, I don't think he can carry it by himself. And I guarantee you, to your point, he's going to have to bring some other people, because he doesn't have the type of music catalog that crosses over to the point that everyone's going to be like, you know, who's this guy?
Right.
So where I think Drake could definitely carry that himself.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
But in that same vein, as we're going to go into, there was a lot of backlash in terms of the pick, especially from the likes of Nicki Minaj, because she felt like Lil Wayne, for example, got snubbed. Being that the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans, this year, or I guess next year, and they completely looked over, Lil Wayne or even other Louisiana, New Orleans artists that are from there. And now some people say, well, just because a Super Bowl comes to this town doesn't mean the local artists get to be picked,
right,
or whatnot. But it just, it just seemed like the perfect ground for someone like Lil Wayne to be performing. Because even though Lil Wayne is not necessarily hot right now, I mean, he's got a long catalog. He's done songs with pretty much everybody. He's like Snoop almost.
Yes, he has. Yeah, I give him his flowers.
And granted, you have other rappers and people from New Orleans that I don't necessarily expect to be called to perform at the Super Bowl, like Master P and the whole No Limit. You know,
they from New Orleans.
Yeah. I don't expect them to perform, but when you got somebody like Lil Wayne, who's done a lot of music with a lot of different artists for like, 30 years now, if not, about 30 something years, I would think going into New Orleans, that would have been a pick that should have been looked at. And not to mention, when you think of Wayne, you also think of Nicki Minaj, Drake, because she put them on.
Right.
So even he could have brought them to jump on the performances of whatnot. So I don't know. I don't know if you got to see that whole situation and what Nicki Minaj was talking about. And apparently there's like some old grudges and stuff going on behind closed doors. What do you think about that?
I actually agree with her. I see where she's coming from. And she's going to fight for Wayne because Wayne fight for her. So she feel like at this point in the game that she has a voice and she has an opinion. So she's going to, she's going to say it. Right now, her name is in everybody's mouth because of her tour, because of her music. You know, everything she has going on is positive. So why not express the fact that why not have Lil Wayne at the Super Bowl, So I guess by her saying that, she's actually saying what people are thinking. Because, if you have the Super Bowl in New Orleans and you got Lil Wayne from New Orleans, he's an icon, he's a pioneer. Like, he got, his catalog goes miles. So why not use Lil Wayne? So I'm glad she is speaking up, because that shows a lot about her, because right is right and wrong is wrong. At the end of the day, you got to get a man's props,
Yeah.
So I like that.
Now, in a vacuum, pound for pound.
In a vacuum?
Yeah, in a vacuum. Like, for example, if you didn't have to think about nothing else, but just look at them as individuals, don't worry about popularity, this or that. If you just look at them in a vacuum, who would you think would be a better pick? Lil Wayne or Kendrick for the Super Bowl performance?
Probably Lil Wayne.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And not just from the standpoint that he has a longer...
I remember Lil Wayne while we was in school.
Man, come on now. Yeah, Hot Boys.
I mean, and the artist that he birthed.
Oh, yeah.
He actually, like, put on. Like, I remember Lil Wayne since he just told Lady Gaga. I mean his music just crossed over, and his mind is a masterpiece. And all the collabs, all the freestyle. And he said one time on an interview that he can't rehearse because most of his music is freestyle.
Yeah.
So that's wild that you can actually go in the studio and you can cook and it'd be fresh every time. That's just, there's no pen and paper involved. It's just right up top of your head. What's on your brain, whatever comes up to your mind to think about, that's what you spit.
Yeah.
Not an artist can't do that today. And I think that, and to be honest, I think that's why Nicki Minaj is as good as she is now, because of Lil Wayne. You know, he taught her, you know, and that's why I love watching her interviews, anything that she posts online, because she always give her props to Lil Wayne. If he had not opened the door for her, she wouldn't be here today. So no. I love how she freestyled. I'm telling you, that she's bad too, but look who she come from, you know. So you have to roll deep with that squad, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like Lil Wayne with his catalog, and then
I
still think that he would have to bring some people like the Nickys of the world, or even Drakes of the world, other people, to make it more of a show for the people that may not be familiar with him.
Lil Wayne's so wild. He probably bring on Tim McGraw. He'll bring on, because his music, even though he raps, but he can fit into any genre, because he's creative.
Yeah.
And any practice will make perfect. So he can get in with Taylor Swift. He can get in with Patti LaBelle if he have to. And
Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Well, Willie Nelson too. And cook something. I mean, I just see him doing it. If he can get with Lady Gaga and make some music and it be hot and it be like on the top of the charts, then he can do it with anybody.
Yeah.
So I like Lil Wayne. And every once in a while I do catch myself just going throw back a little bit and just find something, just put it on and listen to it, and it got Lil Wayne in it, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All his joints got that sound of the of the lighter
going. That's how you know what time it is too. Yeah.
Man. Oh yeah. So let's see what else we got. So apparently yesterday, Taylor Swift apparently endorsed Kamala Harris for president on Instagram, and you know, some people felt like they were kind of nervous, like they didn't know what she was going to do, if she was going to actually endorse Kamala or not. And apparently through her Instagram post, she generated something like 300,000 people to register to vote through vote.gov, apparently. But that doesn't mean that it always has translated to, you know, actual votes in the Democratic side necessarily. That being said, you know, do you think these sort of endorsements by like celebrities like her, because obviously she, you know, she's got a lot of followers. Do you think they make much of a difference when it comes to some of these, you know, things, you know, political?
Yeah.
You think people really make their
final decision
based on somebody like Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I really do. People, diehard fans, and people like Taylor Swift, people like Beyonce, Nicki Minaj.
I mean, Rihanna. You can like their music, but doesn't mean you like them. Their political choices.
But
they do have influence.
They do have a lot of influence.
I mean, I do think they do have influence. How much does it actually sway an election? I mean, nobody knows.
People to vote. So that's.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone should vote. You know, if you can. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you heard, there was like some beef between her and the wife of Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback. Because apparently they were like almost like besties. They were always hanging out together in the same suite during the home games. And I forget Patrick Mahomes' wife's name. But anyway, she liked a tweet that Donald Trump put out or about Donald Trump. And ever since then, apparently, they've been in different suites, not hanging out. And then now, you know, she comes out, I guess, for Kamala Harris or whatever. But my thing is, like, was that really a friendship? Or, like, you know, like, because if you can be that fragile and not hang out with your friends, quote unquote, because they don't think like you. I mean, that seems kind of whack.
Yeah. You know, these stars, man, like people like Taylor Swift, like she have a her pack. You know, she have her girls. So she expect them to almost be like her. Like
style, in her mindset and
in
everything.
Her mindset. So if you have one out of the bunch wants to go left when everybody's going right, then I don't think that sets well with her. And I noticed that when she wins, like I think last night she won an award, album of the year or album something last night. And did you watch
the VMAs? No. Did you?
I watch clips of it here and there because it comes on so late. And by the time it go off, it's like, and I always go over. It never ends at 11. I always like 11:35, 11:40. But of course, I was going on social media and looking at people who won, and Taylor Swift was one of them. And I was looking at the audience and all her girls that's always in the front supporting her. Like she have her fans, she has her friends and family, but she had that core group that's always surrounding her. It's like my minions.
Yeah.
It's basically like they whatever I do, they're gonna, yeah, Swifty, you know, Swifty to the end. So and you, if you have one in that bunch, feel like, I'm gonna like this tweet from Trump, then it makes you question their loyalty. Like, why would you do that? And you know I am running campaigning for what's her name? Miss Harris, whatever
Kamala
name
Harris.
Is. Yeah, her. So it's kind of making things like.
But think about this. If I'm Patrick Mahomes' wife, you know, okay, so you want me to be supportive and of your choice, but you can't be supportive of my choice? That seems kind of whack.
That lets you know what kind of person that Taylor Swift is.
I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. And
yeah, it just lets you know, like I told you, it's like, in order to be down with them, about like the Kardashians, same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you, when you roll with the Kardashians, you have to wear and dress a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You got to do your thing. And if you go left, then you're not with the group anymore. You won't be on a TV show. You know, they kind of like put you out. But if you roll with them, whether you're a guy, if you date any of those sisters, you got a certain criteria you're going to have to do.
Yeah, you got to be a simp.
You got, exactly. If not, they're booting you out. Because if you date one, you got to date all of them.
Yeah. So they'll turn you into a woman, one or the other.
Well, yeah, that too. You know, you go from peeing, standing up, start peeing, sitting down, I guess. But that's just the way it is with those type of people, you know?
Yeah.
And those people are, I mean, I'm not going to say they're narcissists, but they hold a lot of weight. And it could be a good, it could be bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, her relationship with Travis Kelce, the football player. Did you hear about like this like contract that leaked of their relationship? You didn't hear about that? Mm-mm. Apparently, there's a picture of a contract that leaked out from the agency that represents him. That apparently in the contract says, okay, you will be with Taylor Swift and September or October of this year, you guys are going to break up and you guys are going to say that, you know, you guys mutually decided to, you know, go your separate ways or whatever, whatever. Basically saying, you know, that this whole thing
was arranged,
was just fake, I guess like a PR thing.
I believe it.
Now, the agency later came out and said that contract or whatever was fake. Someone made it up. It's not real. And they, you know, completely denounced it. But I mean, why would someone do that just out of the random blue? And it very well could be, but it kind of feeds to people thinking that whole relationship wasn't really real. I don't know. I mean, they seem to be.
We would never know.
Yeah.
But that's why I told you.
My thing is like for it to be that fake and then be together and like happy, I guess. I don't know, man. Let me ask you something. If you were a celebrity and like they were like, look, we can get you in this relationship with so-and-so, and in doing so, you're going to get a couple contracts, $20 million here, 10 million there just by being around her and pretending to be her boyfriend for about a year, year and a half. And then after that, we'll let you guys break up. But you got to be together, hang out, you know, do vacations together, all that. I mean, and you, not that you were poor, because obviously he makes money, but would you do something like that to like elevate your status, your persona, your cachet?
No.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that Kelsey would do that either necessarily. And to be honest, I don't know that Taylor needs it. Like, to she's already popular and got all the money in the world. Why does she need to have a boyfriend, a pretend boyfriend, to sort of, you know, I don't know, make her more popular against towards like certain demographics? I don't know. But
like I said in the beginning when we was talking about the Super Bowl when they won, how they kept showing Taylor Swift, how they kept showing him, and you know, it was all for clout and for views. Everybody know that. You know, so they felt like the more they showed them, the more people would tune in, because people, the Swifties are very popular, so they want to, you know, bring in the clout, bring in the views. So is their relationship arranged? I think it is. I think it's like a job, you know, and she was hiring and he got the job and it comes with benefits. And it's like we're in a job. There's good benefits. There's bad things, you know. And when you first get that job, you're excited. You know, you don't know what to expect. But after 6 months to a year and a half, you start thinking, okay, you get into that routine. It's the same thing every time. You know, so now you got to put on this persona that, because you are America's sweetheart. You know, you got the boyfriend. You know, you won a Super Bowl your boyfriend won a Super Bowl last year, and you gotta just keep up this certain status all the time. That's old. That has to get old. So yes, it's probably the expiration. Like, I'm putting my 2 weeks notice. I'm done.
Yeah.
I dated you. I got you what you wanted. We got what we wanted. You walk away happy. You go tour the world, sell it out, take a sold out concert. Yeah. And we go on my way. Boom. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like completely manufactured, like, okay, sign on this dotted line contract, whatnot. But I do think, though, maybe not this particular relationship, but I do think like in other relationships in Hollywood, I think about it. Let's say you're an up-and-coming actor or musician for that matter. And I don't know who's hot right now. I don't even know what actresses are hot right now. But let's say that you're back in the day, you're coming up as an actor, and you've got somebody like, I don't know, like Halle Berry, you know, wants to date you. Or like you come across her and you're like, dang, you shoot your shot. But in the process, you're like, yeah, I like her. But at the same time, I know that if I get with her, all kinds of doors are going to open. All kinds of opportunities might open because of who she is. So if I date her, like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them think that way. You know, if I get with so-and-so, or like, you know, I may be able to do this, do that. So I feel like they do, a lot of times, do date out of convenience and what they can get from each other. But in this situation, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But let's see what else we got. All right. So looks like Tyrese is in the news recently.
Poor Tyrese, I tell you. Tyrese stays in the news.
So apparently he was arrested on September 9th for failing to make child support payments. Allegedly. He's owing $10,000, close to $11,000, you know, to his baby mama for his daughter Soraya. And he's been criticizing the judge, accusing him of bias in handling the case. So following his arrest, he had to pay like $73,000 to be released, since, you know, filing against, against the ruling. So my thing is, he's got to pay around $10,000 a month in child support, which means that if he had to pay $73,000 to be released, that means he was probably like behind 7 months or something like that, I would think. And I was like, dang, $10,000 a month in child support. I'm like, what is this kid doing, $10,000 a month? But then I got to thinking, I went and Googled, well, how much is Tyree's net worth? And it said somewhere around $6 to $10 million. Apparently it's not that much. I'm like, so he's worth about $10 million. And when you think of net worth, it's not actual cash money in the bank. It's like, you know, your assets and your, you know, stuff that you have, which means if he, how much does he actually have cash on hand that he's able to shell out $10K just in child support? So I don't know. I know he's got another kid, and I'm assuming he's probably paying child support on that too. But there's no real, you know, information on the numbers on that one. But with this whole Tyree situation, what you think about it when you heard the news?
If you're worth $6 to $10 million,
yeah,
then you're broke.
You're
broke. And I say that because somebody like Tyrese, which again has a long catalog, ever since Baby Boy, ever since Coca-Cola commercials. Da 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 way Coca-Cola.
I don't remember that.
What? What?
I really don't.
He did. That's how he got in. That's how his music started.
Really?
He did for the Throwback Thursday today. Yes. Google the Coca-Cola commercial with Tyrese, and you will see him get on the bus saying, da 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 da, always Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And that's what started his career as in music. And then he went on and did stuff like, I think it was on Walt Disney or the Disney Channel or something like that. With him and Britney Spears, all of them back in the day, they all started
there. He was in that too?
I think Tyrese was in there. Allegedly. Put it that way, allegedly.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
But I think Tyrese could have money, but I think his spending habits get the best of him. You know, you're trying to wine and dine all these women. I mean, you buying these expensive cars. And you got the lavish lifestyle. It's hot when you're hot, but every movie you make is not really it's not a Will Smith type of movie. You know, yeah. Only movies he really made that was really hot was like number one was like all the Bad Boy. I mean, the Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for that, you don't really see anything else about Tyrese, you know?
Yeah, because he's pretty much in all of them.
Yeah, yeah, he's in, yeah, for most of them, he's in all of them. There's about 25, 30 of them.
Yeah.
So he's in all of them, but that's all he has.
Yeah.
Then he got a couple movies he did.
Baby Boy.
Well, that's Baby Boy was very, 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 very first beginning one. But after the series of Fast and Furious, he did have a couple movies he came out called Blue Black or something, where he was a cop, lieutenant or something like that.
Okay.
He did good, but none of them hit, like, number one chart. Like, it didn't stay the thing. Most of them went straight to, like, YouTube. Not YouTube, but Netflix or some type of a streaming app. Mm-hmm. So I can see why he's only worth $6 to $10 million. You know, yeah. And plus I've seen him personally a couple of times
at our church.
Oh yeah,
at your church?
Yes, yes.
He came to Redemption or Relentless. To
Relentless Love Story. Yeah, he's been there a couple of times. I think, to be honest, I probably done seen him about 4 or 5 times and shook his hand at least 3 times.
What was he doing there? Just visiting?
Him and my pastor are pretty good friends.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen him. I've seen his car. I've seen him. He looked like he might be tall, but he's a short guy, kind of like, yeah. But he's a cool guy.
Well, maybe next time he comes, we can get him here on the pod.
Where's the sound? Yes, that's the right one. but Tyrese, he's good, and then like his music. His music is great, but again, I think he said, I think I blame him on his management. Like, I don't know who his management or his publicist is, but they didn't really keep putting him out there. Like, he got caught up in the stuff he got going on in the world, family issues and baby mama drama. You know, he was actually living out baby boy.
What more do you want from me?
Exactly. And then those clips he kept putting up on social media, he's whining on social media. And it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. He's always in some type of a scandal with some female. He got called and he cheated on his wife. So I think a lot of stuff plays in effect of him, of how much he's really worth. Even though it's 6 to 10 million, but in all actuality, it's probably worth no more than about 2 million.
Oh, man.
I would think, allegedly, yeah. Now, but that's what I would think.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is that when you try to keep up with the Joneses and
you can't and
keep that celebrity lifestyle, yeah, it drains you even
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. You know.
Which I don't know that he's doing, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
A lot of them do that, and then next thing you know, you're out here, you know, working at Denny's or something.
Oh, not Denny's. Womp, womp, womp.
Oof. Oh man, but actually he was actually on the Shannon Sharp podcast recently.
And the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Did you listen to those?
He was crying his eyes out on Breakfast Club.
What was he crying about?
This drama stuff he's going through.
Oh, like, his ex-wife?
Yeah, like, man. People, I'm telling you, man, that's what I try to tell y'all. I try to tell y'all, mental health is real. It doesn't matter how many zeros that you have in your bank account. At the end of the day, when you go home, you can have the hottest movie, the hottest track, just came off your tour. You can have all your fans like shouting for you. But when you come home to those your own four walls by yourself and you turn the lights off and you get in your bed, go to sleep, that's when real life hits. Because now your mind is really like recording and remembering everything, like, why am I in this situation? Yeah, in the streets, on social media, I'm this pop star. I look happy, but when I'm at home watching my own TV, I'm actually I'm depressed. Like, it's like two different people in me. Like, there's a person that you see me on stage, and I think a lot of these stars go through that. They put on this show, like, they got it. You know, you want it. Let me give it to you. But when they get home, they just like us. You know, they going through stuff. They got stuff going on. They got family drama. They got bills to do. You know, money's not coming in. Because even though he's worth that amount of money, but you still got to pay all your people. And Taraji broke that thing down on some show she was on. Like, people think, you know, they get all this money for doing these movies, but really they don't. Some of them might break even, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody like Will Smith. Yeah. And I think that's a blessing that he's the way he is, because everything he touches is gold. Like, all your Bad Boys, like, all of them, I think they said it was over 1 billion tickets sold or something like that, box office.
Yeah, $1 billion made overall.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that would be big for Fast and Furious, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's with my man died. What's his name?
Oh, Walker, Paul
yeah.
Walker.
Matter of fact, his birthday was yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Or today. Today, yeah. So, and he still didn't make that much amount of money, you know?
Yeah.
But it's tough.
God bless Tyrese. And next time he's in town, man, tell him to come to come through, you know?
Right.
And your pastor to come through.
Right.
You know, we got a little set up here.
Right.
But speaking of Shannon Sharp, because he's been in the news lately, too. And for those who don't know, he's an ex-NFL player, podcaster now, Sports Center, you know, commentator and whatnot. And here, I think it was earlier this week, he accidentally broadcasted himself.
Allegedly.
On IG Live, having sex with someone. No, it's not allegedly anymore, because he came out, I think it was today or yesterday, admitting to the fact, because he was saying that his phone got hacked and they were looking into it. But that was too obvious. Like, so anyway, he came out and said, you know, he feel bad, feel embarrassed because of what happened. But he told his bosses at ESPN and spoke with his family and everything about you know, what happened, and he felt super bad about it. First of all, have you seen the video?
Yes, I have.
Man, that was too funny. Yeah. Man, when like I was just reading the comments.
That's what up. I live for. Forget about the video. Forget about the audio. Go to the comments and have yourself a ball, because the comments alone is a whole different show by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing is, though, that despite that whole ordeal, like, you know, he didn't lose his job. Thank God. I mean, it's not like he was doing something illegal. I mean, something that a lot of people do, if not everybody does, but he just happened to do it on IG Live. People were making fun of him, like him doing all those grunts.
Well, you know, honestly, this is my opinion, and I'm going to state it because we all have one. I think he did that because it can really lay to rest all these rumors about him.
Oh, so because you think people be saying that he's gay?
Right. And I think he did that just to, you know, put the rumors on ice a little bit, chill with it, you know.
Well, Ocho Cinco said he was just glad it was a Michelle and not a Michael.
Exactly. And you know, you got people like Cat Williams. You know, he was.
What did he say?
He said, "I'm telling you, the internet is the devil.
It's undefeated.
It's undefeated." He said, you're not gay today because you made one video with Michelle." He said, "The real question is, who is Michelle?" And then he said, "What are you going to be tomorrow?" It's just like, he does this stuff. That's why I'm telling you, man, mental health. People sit here and act like they don't care about social media, but they really do. And they care what people think about them. And so if they did not care, he wouldn't go out and do stuff like this. Because he knew what he was doing.
So you think this was staged?
Yes. 100%.
I'm going to say two things. One, well, Ocho Cinco, in their podcast, he said that he knows that Shannon's not very, you know, tech savvy, and like, you know, he doesn't really deal with computers and how things work, technology or whatnot. Managed
to hit that button.
But my thing is, like, there's a difference in between being tech savvy and all of that. But I mean, Instagram is not that complicated. You have to be in the app. And then when you're in the app, you got to either swipe left to right and then click live. So it's not like, and even if you didn't think you were doing that, like whenever you in the app, like you could see the camera come on. So you could see yourself. I don't know. It seemed kind of fishy in the sense that.
It's sketchy.
Yeah, it's very sketchy. And the thing about it is, now, I saw his online. I saw a clip. But apparently now he's being sponsored by like a
porn star.
No. He's in his show. Now he's got a sponsorship with with Roe, which is like a online company for like Viagra, like Sildenafil, which is like those pills to help you with erections.
I know. Also, he got $100,000endorsement, some type of sponsorship. Do porn.
Oh, they offered him, but yeah, he ain't gonna do that.
I know he's not,
but my thing is, like, even if it was staged and put on purpose for the purpose of squashing the rumors, why not just have a girlfriend? Why not just step out with a girl somewhere? You know, why not just do that? That seems like the easier thing to do, you know. And
that's why I tell you, man, people don't be thinking, bro. They don't think. People do not think.
And he does claim that he's very private. He's all about his private life and keeping things, you know. Yeah, he's a public figure, but his things at home he likes to keep private. So if I'm to assume that, it's like, okay, all right, maybe this was a mistake. And to the point that if you're trying to silence, you know, the people are saying that you're gay, I don't think someone that's private will go to those extremes to make that happen versus just stepping out with some woman, you know, even if it's a snow bunny, and and, you know, be like, yeah, it's my girl.
Like I said, man.
Just let Dr. Umar know.
I just feel like it was staged.
Oh, yeah.
And he got what he wanted. Because he was on, now he's on everybody's lips. On social media. You can't even go through IG without seeing Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
So he got what he wanted, you know, and it's,
I don't know if it's what he wanted, I mean, but he's definitely wanted, getting it.
He's getting something. And so, and then he messed around and said, Michelle. Now they want to know who was Michelle.
Who's this chick?
Yeah. Who is she? You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happened now. I'm pretty sure it's a part 2 coming out somewhere.
Yeah, man.
Tell you, boy, this world today, boy. Mm.
Well, we've been talking about doing something like this. And we got a new segment called Throwback Thursday.
So
we figured, you know, we're 90s babies, you know, we kind of grew up in the 80s, 90s, you know, sort of early 2000s.
Right.
And
that's the best time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
We might be a little biased, but one of the things that I wanted to kind of do, you know, do a Throwback Thursday on is some of the gadgets, some of the things that we kind of grew up with and how things have evolved since then. And one of the things that was back in the 80s, you know, 90s even, was the Walkman. Did you ever have a Walkman?
I had me a nice Walkman, a Sony.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I think most people had a Sony one.
Sony, and I had an Emerson, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. And
that,
I had a cheap one that you could not rewind, I think. You had to take the cassette out and turn it around and fast forward or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I actually got the one with you can rewind and fast forward on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a big deal to me.
Yeah, that was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, fun fact for the people out there, because I didn't even know this, but the first Walkman, the TPS-L2, came with two headphone jacks so two people could listen at the same time. I didn't realize you could do that. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, so that was that was one of the big things that I remember from the 80s and 90s growing up, people going to work out with their little, you know, Walk went to the side and everything. It was definitely classic, you know. And I've seen random people, not many, but I've seen some random people like that are very nostalgic, like try to bring it back, and you'll see them like wearing them, but not a lot. But you every now and then you'll still see it out there. But as you know, another thing that kind of started in the 80s and moved into the 90s. Where the VHS tapes to watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like the biggest thing back then was Blockbuster. You always had to make sure you rewind it and took it back whenever you like got your movies out. Go ahead.
What was a big deal to me, and since we on this Throwback Thursday lane,
yeah,
was like getting your own Blockbuster card.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I felt so big. I felt so, this. I don't know. It was weird. Like, I'll never forget me and my mom went to Blockbuster. And then she had her own card. You know, you get your card, you put it on your account. And then she allowed me to get my own account. So that was a big deal to me. Like, I could take my own card.
How old were you?
I think I might have been maybe 13 or 14, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you can get your own card. And get your own movies. You know, obviously we would go together, but she would get what she wanted. And everything that she picked for her, I didn't really want to watch, you know. So it was like Friday night, school was out, you know, you can get a movie or two. I pick up two movies on my own card. And I thought that was just to have that in my wallet.
So what movies were you picking out?
Man, I mean, I remember getting... Space Jam. Was it Space Jam?
Yeah.
No, Michael Hamburgers. Jordan. Hamburgers.
Hamburgers. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was... Spaceballs, something like that. Spaceballs. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a crazy movie. I remember getting that movie. I remember getting Beetlejuice. Oh, wow. I remember getting...
Your new one just came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember something else, but those was like Harry and the Hendersons, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Okay, I remember that.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
Ghostbusters.
And for some reason, I always love Scooby-Doo. I don't know what about Scooby-Doo. I don't know what it was about Scooby-Doo. And Tom and Jerry. I had to have one of those two.
So they had movies?
Yeah, like they had like a little movie. I mean, it was like basically watching Netflix really on the video.
Okay.
They were like 30 minutes each. You just play them, you know?
Gotcha.
And I just, that was a big deal to have my own card. Like, I got my own Blockbuster card. Like, you know, it was wild. Until I made a mistake and take it back. And then now I got a fine. You know, you get a fee in order to rent more movies, you got to pay that fee first.
Mm-hmm.
So your fee might be, I think, $1, $2 for late fee.
Yeah.
So in order to get two more movies, you had to pay your late fee as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My family never really grew up watching movies or even like renting stuff out. I mean, I didn't really do that, to be honest. I always did it with friends.
Right.
Whenever I went to their house.
Right.
And sometimes we would, you know, I'll go with them and stuff like that. But, you know, because when my family came here to the States, it was not, all that was new to them, and they didn't understand any of that, so they didn't even bother.
Right.
Oh, but with us being in high school, like, we were exposed to it. So obviously some of our friends, and, you know, we'll go there, and of course we'll go and they'll pick out a movie or whatever and we'll go hang out at their house. So that's how I experienced it. But yeah, man, that's some crazy times. Mm-hmm. They're good times. But even into the 90s, when I was in high school, did you ever wear a pager? Or did you ever have one?
I had a pager, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So pagers were huge, man.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about it. They were actually pretty big, because not only were, like, you know, high school kids using them, but they were actually, like, doctors and professionals using it too. And you would always get that 911 if it was an emergency or something important. But go ahead.
I had a pager, and I also got rid of the pager because I sold it, and I got a two-way.
You got a two-way?
A two-way pager.
How did the two-way work?
You don't remember the two-way?
No.
Well, you could actually... It's like a little small phone. It was a pager.
Oh, it had a bigger screen.
Bigger screen. You could actually text on it. You could send your message back. Instead of you trying to find a phone to call and say, hey, what's up, Daniel? I got your page.
Yeah.
I could actually respond to it on the screen.
Yeah.
And send it.
But how wild is that? That back then, you got this thing that told you, okay, there's a number calling me. And then you got to find a pay phone. Yeah, you got to find a phone somewhere. Otherwise, you don't have no idea who you're getting the call from.
No.
And you
better have a quarter.
Yeah, you have to have a quarter for the pay phone. It's just wild looking back at some of the things we had to do just to get a hold of somebody, you know? And of course, that was through high school. And I remember... after I graduated high school, because I didn't have a phone or anything until I was like 22.
Oh my God, Daniel.
And it was a little flip phone, like an Ericsson flip phone. And I had like 500 minutes on it. That's all I had. That's all I could afford.
Brother, when I was in high school, I had a two-way and I had a phone.
No, I didn't have a phone in high school.
I had both. I had both, just in case. I was very responsible. I had both of them. So, yeah. But what I find is very wild is that back then we had minutes to talk on the phone. We wanted more minutes because you couldn't wait till the weekend because it was minutes were free in the weekend, or you were free after
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Now, you can get a plan so you could start at 6.
Right.
You got to pay more, but yeah.
Yeah. But now... We can talk all we want, but no, we don't call nobody no more.
Yeah, yeah, it's the most bizarre thing.
And you can't get five people to call you unless it's somebody who wants something. But yeah, back then, you wanted to call somebody.
Oh,
and
man.
And you got mad because your minutes was getting low.
Oh, man.
And you couldn't wait till 9 o'clock at night. And you couldn't wait till the weekend because I had to call my boys up. I'm going to the game. Where we going? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And now, it's free every day.
Dude, not even that. Like I remember, I would be on the phone for like 2-3 hour conversations with
tearing
people.
Tearing the minutes up, boy.
Because, you know, there was really no other way of communicating or hanging out after hours, especially, you know, well, for me anyway, when I was at home, you could spend 2-3 hours talking to someone and not have to worry about menace or anything after 9 o'clock or whatever. And to your point, that's like completely lost now.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you talked to somebody on the phone for like 2 hours? I mean, it just doesn't happen very much.
It's very rare. Did you have your own phone line at your house?
We did have a phone line.
Like two separate phone lines. Like, you know, you had your parents' phone line and then you had your own personal phone line.
You like landline?
Yeah.
No. We just had one landline, you know, for the house. And then when I was like 20, 21, that's when I got the Ericsson phone with like 500 minutes. Like, all right, I'll call you back. Like, you know, I couldn't talk very long. And then later, I remember I got this other flip phone. It was a Samsung. I was much older then. I think it was maybe 23, 24. I can't remember. I thought that was the best thing in the world because you could actually take pictures with it. I mean, they were like the worst pictures, but the fact that you could take a picture with it, I thought it was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm actually taking a picture with my phone.
Yeah.
But I kind of miss those times whenever you could just talk, like, you know, for hours with someone and just lose track of time just because you're having such a good time, you know, conversating.
Right.
But now someone would think you have like three eyes or just some kind of, you know, mutant or something trying to call you. Like, what?
Hey, what'd you call me for?
Like, did someone die? Like, why are you calling?
Like, you could tell by the hello.
Like, they feel offended.
Like, hello? Like, what you want? And you'd be like, I'm just calling to say what's up. Okay, did you just text me? Like, no, I'm just calling. Oh.
Did you need something?
Like, is everything okay? You on side of the road? Like, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
And when it rings, you look at the phone like, what they want? Like, why they calling? Like,
yeah.
And it's a ring three times. You trying to debate, should I pick it up? Should I not?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick it up. It could be something important. It don't even be nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I think we've definitely gotten away from that. And everyone, here's the thing too, that I realized. Everyone says, oh man, you know, I'm just so busy. And it ain't nobody that busy.
No.
Ain't nobody
so
that busy.
I'm tired of people using that. I am so tired of people saying I'm so busy or I meant to call you back. Daniel, I meant to call you back. Oh, you crossed my mind. You know, you didn't know I didn't. If it was, then pick up the phone and hit somebody up there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you end up having the Razor? The Motorola Razor?
I did.
That was a huge one back then.
Oh, it was so nice and chic and thin.
That was more like early 2000s, but yeah.
Yeah, it was like the flip Razor thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one of those, what I thought was a very, very sophisticated little phone. And then I had got the BlackBerry.
Oh,
with the little ball, the little
roller
gun for the. It was a BlackBerry Pearl, I think it was called.
I remember, but.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, that thing was nice too. It say charge forever.
Oh, yeah.
I can charge it up on Sunday, and I would say I got juice on Thursday. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those were some of the early phone models.
Yes.
And then I don't know exactly what year it came out. Actually, let me go back. When we're thinking about the early 2000s and the gadgets, I think the iPod came before the iPhone. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It was big too.
The iPod came out in 2001. Did you ever have one?
No.
You never had an iPod?
I wanted one, but I never had one.
So how were you listening to music back then? CD player?
Well, yeah, I did have a CD player, but I ended up getting, I didn't get an iPod because I thought it was so expensive.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting like an MP3 player.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
I got an MP3 player when it hit a gig of like 8 gig or something on a 16 gig.
Yeah.
And then I would actually go to the computer and you would download this app called Firefox, I think, or okay. Firewall.
Did you ever have LimeWire?
Yeah, yeah. And you go and find your music, and you try to find the one that got the most views and or most, like, stars, and you download it. And once you download it, you put it into a folder on your computer, you plug up your MP3 player, and you drag it over to the memory on your MP3 player. Then you have your music.
Well, actually, going back a few years, I remember at the time I had this like Dodge Neon and it had a cassette player. So through high school, I had cassettes.
Right.
And then I would record stuff off the radio through the cassettes too. So I remember like, I don't know, it must have been like mid-90s when CDs started coming out. And I refused to buy them because, for one, they were kind of expensive. You're looking at, you know, $15, $16. I'm like, man, no, that's crazy. I'm not paying that much. And I felt like I love my tapes. And the CD, the cassette player that I had in my car, it was one of those that you put side A and it would automatically go to side B without you having to take it out.
Right.
So I thought it was like amazing.
Oh, luxury.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, yeah, I don't need this whole CD thing. Like I'm gonna stick to my cassettes. So I just kept buying cassettes, but then I started seeing less and less cassettes being put out, and then eventually more CDs, and I'm like, well, dang. So then I finally decided to try a CD, because you know my dad bought this like this little almost like a boombox or whatever. You could put tapes, but you could also put a CD player or CDs on it. So when I saw what CDs could do, I was like, bruh, man, these CDs things are nice.
Yeah, until you get scratches on it.
Yeah, until you get scratches on it. Yeah. But then you didn't have to like rewind to a certain song. You can just press a button and it goes right to it.
Yeah.
And then I was sold on it.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole book full of CDs, you know, just like.
It just take up so much space. Because, you know, once you start buying one, you start buying two, you start buying three, before you know you got 15, then you got 20. Then you have to be organized. You have to take the cover out and put it inside the case of your book.
Yeah.
So you know what you're playing.
Exactly.
And put the CD in it. And then you play too many at one time, you got to put them back so you know where they go. Or if you have like a CD holder inside your CD player with it, it'll play more than one. Like, it could play up to five CDs at one time.
Yeah, well, I mean, that technology came out later.
Right.
With certain cars. Mm-hmm. But did you also have a CD case?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. I didn't really have a lot of cassettes, though. I made all mine because I didn't have any money. So so what I did, I do remember buying, like, tapes, like you can record them,
like
cassette tapes,
blanks.
Yeah, blank tapes. Okay. I bought like a pack of them. It'd be like 6 to 8 in the pack, from Walmart for like $4.99 or something. And I couldn't wait to get home and cover up the edges so you can hit record on your home entertainment system, and you listen to the radio on weekends, and they play all your hot tracks you like, and you can't wait. You try to fix it where you don't get the introduction, like the MC or the DJ. You don't want to get him. And then as soon as he stops, you hear it hit record.
Yeah.
And then you got to wait at the end when the song is over because he's going to come in and mess your track up.
Yeah.
So you try and get it a little early, but not too early, but just a little bit. So you'll think that, hey, this is like a mixtape I made. And then I critiqued that thing so well, Daniel. Where it was almost like a mixtape. Like it would cut off just in time before he started saying what he was playing, you know.
Yeah. Like DJ Mike.
Yes. But you know what? Those times, man, was beautiful, man. Like, I would give anything to go back to those times because it was less drama. I wasn't, like, giving all my life to social media. I was playing my music. I would go to the football game. You have to hang out. You know, you'll ride around your car. You take all your music that you made all that week. You can't wait to play it that weekend in your car. You get your car cleaned up. You know, Put you about $20 of gas in. Got a full tank. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, when they look at their times growing up, whether it's for most people, their high school years, early 20s is probably like the golden era that they always sort of gravitate towards back. Mm. So, because you could ask older people than us, be like, you know, what's your favorite time? They'll probably say the 70s, you know, whenever things were happening, blah, blah, blah.
Records.
Yeah, when they were having like records and 8-tracks, you know.
Yeah.
But as we moved into the 2000s, you know, we talked about the iPod. You never got one. But the first iPod could hold 1,000 songs, which back then, that was like mind-blowing. This little thing could hold that many songs at one time in one place versus like a whole book of stuff. Now, I never had an iPod either because, again, I couldn't afford it. And back then, like, they were like, I forget, like $200.
They were $300.
Yeah, they were pretty expensive. And, like, you know, when you're making minimum wage or free, I was making my first job, they're paying me $5.25 an hour. I was a busboy.
Yeah, I think my first job was at, I think, McDonald's.
Okay.
And I was making $4.75, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you're making like $5.25 and you got to put gas in your car, because at the time I had a little car, you ain't thinking about paying $200 for it.
Because first of all, if you buy you an iPod, then you got to...
Then you got to buy the songs.
You got to buy the songs, and because you can't just put any music on there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't upload, so you had to figure that thing out. You know, it was just too much. That's why I said, just give me an MP3 player. I'll start off with that. I'll put about 100, 200 tracks. I was good to go. You know, I was fine.
And even when it came to, like, MP3s and stuff, I didn't even... I was always late to technology because I was very hesitant of the new wave. So when CDs came out, I just rolled with the CDs, and I was good with it. I was very resistant to this next thing. And it wasn't until I bought my first iPhone. I had like the very first iPhone. And that changed the game. Because to me, like, I was like, wait a minute. You mean I can take pictures, listen to music, get on the internet, make phone calls? All in one phone? It was just so bizarre.
And it was compact.
Yeah, so that changed the game. And then I started buying music on the phone because I was like, dang, I can just keep my music here too? And granted, they were like 99 cents or $1.29 back then. But it was definitely interesting times, you know, when it came to some of that technology. Mm-hmm. But anything else you remember from some of the tech back then?
The phones.
Did you have, when it came to the, like, the consoles, did you ever have like a Nintendo or like Game Boys or those?
I did have, somebody gave me a Tetris, or not Tetris, but some type of system.
Atari,
that's what it was.
Okay,
somebody
gave
me one, and I didn't know, I couldn't figure it out, and my mom used it, and then I ended up getting a Super Nintendo, and then I started getting into this other stuff, the Genesis, and all that other crazy stuff, and then now I got all these consoles everywhere. And then I ended up giving it to my cousin. I felt like it was just too much stuff. And
were you big into video games back then?
Not really. I played a little while, and then my mom was like, well, if your grades are not good, you can't play. So there was a point when my grades started getting kind of bad, so she kind of took it away from me.
Yeah, I remember my parents, because we didn't really have a lot of money growing up, and my parents bought us a Super Nintendo, which back then, to me, that was like huge. To be able to play Super Mario Brothers on there. And obviously, you know, we had to, like, you know, do good in school and stuff like that. But I just thought that was, like, like the best thing ever. And granted, as I got older, and really out of high school, I didn't care for game consoles anymore. I just kind of grew out of it. Now, I had a friend that, now, this was going into the early 2000s. He bought a, what is it called? The, not the Xbox, but yeah, I think it was an Xbox. PlayStation. He had a PlayStation and an Xbox. And I used to always like the fighting games. So we, you know, we would play that. But really after high school, I pretty much gave up on the video games. The Super Nintendo, man, I remember when that came out, I was hooked on Super Mario.
I was too. I hate to say the princess. I couldn't wait. I mean, it was just, I don't know. It took a lot of my time. Like I remember coming home from school, rushing through food, rushing through getting my chores and stuff done just to play that darn game. And it 1 minute is like 4 o'clock afternoon, and next minute is like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. My mom would say, you got to take your bath, get in the bed. I'm thinking 30 more minutes. Then before you know, it's like 9 o'clock. She's fussing at me. Tell me it's almost 10 o'clock. Got to get in the bed. And then you come home. First thing, you grab that game. And she saw that routine. We kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And my school work was failing because I wanted to play that game. She took it away from me.
Yeah.
And see, I couldn't play with it until I get my school work back up where it's supposed to be. And then once I did, she said, you know what? Let's just start doing this. You play the game on the weekends. So my cousin would come over and we play that game. They order some pizza. We eat pizza and play that game all night. Like, we wouldn't go all night long, but we'd go to midnight. That was it.
Yeah, I think the biggest two games back then was obviously Mario. I think it was the Legend of Zelda. That was another big one.
And Madden.
I never got into Madden.
In Madden 95.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I never got into Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Well, that's all I got, man. You got anything else?
Nah.
So that's all the gadgets that we couldn't live without back in the early 90s, 2000s on this, Throwback Thursday. Yeah. And you got anything else for the people?
No, not really. But like I always say, this is the weekend. Be safe, you know.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and shout out to all the people out there supporting us, and like, share, subscribe, and
That's right.
Until next time, peace out. Peace.